You are now tuning in to Nude Radio with your host, Kenny Heflin, and I'm so happy to have you all with me this week. How's it going, everyone? I'm doing pretty well. I have a very interesting topic to get on this week, and you know, it's something that I've been looking to dabble into for a while now. And I actually might do more than one because I feel like this topic has to be just, I feel like it has to be dissected in different sections because it's so, so complex. But we're going to get into it. We'll get into what it means to be discriminated against, fetishized, lusted after, race played. I mean, we're going to get into the things, and that is the topic of sexual racism with Black bodies. Sexual racism with Black bodies. Just think about that. But as you're thinking, make sure to like and subscribe to Nude Radio, streaming on all platforms where you can hear a podcast. And go ahead and follow me on Twitter /X at Nude Radio 101. And also reach out to me on Instagram under the same handle at Nude Radio 101. And if you want to reach me directly, go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Kenny Heflin for my personal page. So, y'all, let's get into it. Okay. Have you heard of all of the stereotypes when it comes to sexual Black bodies before? I'm sure you've heard of them, right? You know, oh, Black women, you know, their boobs, you know, the breasts are luscious, the lips are luscious, the curves, the ass, you know, oh, all that stuff, right? She's this mahogany goddess. She is, but not to be consumed in that way. Have you heard about the sexual stereotypes of Black men? I'm sure you have. Oh, once you go Black, you never go back. Oh, Black dick. Black dick is so big. Big Black cock. BBC. Oh, what? Now, I don't want y'all to be lying to me and stuff. I know y'all done heard these stories before. Some of these sexual stereotypes when it comes to Black bodies, right? And the funny thing is that this goes back so far. And I feel like with the world that we've been living in, the society that we've been living in, it has fostered a culture of non-Black individuals to form, develop, create, whatever you want to say, a fetish for the Black body and how dehumanizing it is and how Black bodies are looked at as just an object, an entire human being, y'all, can be looked at as just one thing, and that is a sexual object for a non-Black individual. And this goes back so far. This goes back so far. It doesn't matter if you are gay, straight, or anything in between. It does not matter. This is a history lesson. You know, oftentimes when we think about, you know, sexual racism, or, you know, people can sometimes ask, like, well, Kenny, what is that? Like, what is sexual racism? I've never heard of that before, you know. And really, the lamest terms to sexual racism, in my opinion, and I'm sure can have another definition to some people, right? But I would say, you know, sexual racism, it pretty much describes just different ways that Black bodies are not afforded certain luxuries. You know, they're held to a different standard. And usually those standards and those levels when it comes to economics and societal values of that person, you know, that's how it dictates who they are and how they show up as a romantic partner. Or just, yeah, I mean, a romantic or sexual partner. We'll go ahead and say sexual partner, because just because you... sexual don't mean you're romantic, just what you're romantic don't mean you're sexual, right? But it's all based off of that person's racial identity, them being Black. So, like I say, when you think about sexual racism, again, like it describes what it's like for Black individuals to be held to different standards of value when it comes to them becoming a viable intimate or a romantic partner. And it's all based off of them just being Black. And when we think about it, there is a level of there's a level of disrespect that knows no bounds. Because, like I say, when we think about the history of this, like the root, the true root of what it is and where this possibly started, right? I can't help but think about when European colonizers, when they went to galvanize and invade, colonize all of these African countries, we're talking about hundreds of years ago. All the way back to, when we're thinking about documentation, we're talking about all the way back to the 1600s, for example. These white European settlers, colonizers, invaders, whatever you want to call them, when they came into these African countries, they saw paradise, pretty much. They saw grounds and lands that were lush with greenery. They saw people who were rich in culture. They saw welcoming people. They saw these people's way of life, how they held personhood, their own identities, individually, but also as groups within their tribes. They saw how their way of life worked on a day-to-day basis, and they sought out to benefit from that. We talk about the goods and services that was the original exchange, that was the idea, right? But there was another form of currency that was being taken advantage of. The Black body, the Black woman, the African woman. You know, these European settlers, these colonizers, they saw the dress, they saw the uniform, outfits, whatever you want to call it, they saw the body and they lusted after the body. And when they made their dirty deals, when they backstabbed and sabotaged certain situations within African officials and people who lived there, who thrived there, when they took them, that black body became its own form of currency. A form of currency that could get you however much money as a white settler, right? But they couldn't make the money for themselves if given that opportunity. You know, like I say, there's so much that we think about, and it's a numbers, it's really a numbers game. It's the trade. And it's the undervalue that has plagued black people and black bodies for so long, for so many generations. You know, these people, these racist white European colonizers, they developed this fascination with the black body. They saw the curves, they saw the breasts, the full head of hair, the full lips, great shoulders, beautiful bodies, beautiful round breasts, small waist, thick hips, thighs, everything. And they grew a fascination for that body. They sexualized that body. Even when that body was just living its life, when that person was living their life, minding their business, not doing anything sexual, they were being sexualized because they were different. They looked different. That's how that white gaze started, right? You know, when we think about the fetish that is the BBW or the BBC, right? Of black men, black women. I think about the story of Sarah Bartman. And if you guys, I would hope some of y'all know who Sarah Bartman is, but Sarah Bartman was a South African woman, and she had and was known to have just this super hourglass shape. I mean, hips, ass, everything, breast, all the things. And she was used for her body, for the white gaze, as their entertainment. And she was actually, upon her death, if y'all don't know, look it up. I remember when I first heard about Sarah Bartman, I was a kid. I was, you know, like 11 years old, but she was made to be an exhibition way back in the 1800s because of the size of her ass, the size of her hips, the size of her breast. She literally, this black African woman could not rest in peace. And her body was made to be a freaking attraction for people visiting from European countries and all around the world. Her body was placed as just a display, an art piece, if you will. This was a living, this woman was a living woman at one point, and she couldn't rest in peace because there were powers that thought, look at this body, look at this African woman. Look at her shapely hips and her breasts and her ass. Let's put her up for display for people to, whoa, oh, are you serious? And it's, you know, you think about those times and it's just like the way that they were able to dehumanize black people, the way that they were able to weaponize education, religion against the black person, the way that they developed these fetishes for black people's bodies. It all started hundreds of years ago. This goes back so far. The hypersexualization of black bodies. Let's not forget to mention the horrible, grotesque things that they did to punish black bodies. We're not going to get into that part tonight, at least. But we don't talk about what they did to these sexual organs of black men and women as humiliation tactics. But it was all rooted in the discrimination, but the fetishization of the black body. And that is where the stereotype started hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago. And it still plagues us still to this day. We get into how when slavery stopped, sex workers, for example. Sex workers in the early days, even all the way into current times, there's a certain level of value that is still appreciated and depreciated from black bodies and the others. There's still a level of currency there, right? And they're still due service and unjust in equal pay with that. And again, these are people who are in this profession, willingly, unwillingly, right? They're being lusted after, but they're being paid less. They're being marketed as this curvaceous black woman or this black man who is this hung horse stud BBC. We think about that because we hear these things. We think about the fetishization of it. We hear about how the glorification of Black bodies based off their features, based off of their skin complexions, based off of their heights, their weights, their... we hear about these things, you know? And I feel like outside of the people who has meant us no harm, they try. They try to show love. They try to show up. They try to show support. But their voices and their actions are they're drowned out most times by the people that mean us harm. And the crazy thing is that nobody really talks about out loud, but we're going to do it on New Radio. What makes it worse is our people, our Black people, no matter where you are in the diaspora, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the fact that we don't talk about the fact that our colonizers were able to chop and screw and remix racism and white supremacy and rebrand it and give it to us to perpetuate upon ourselves. We think about the early days of rap and hip hop music. Rappers calling their girls bitches and hoes, and, you know, the video models hypersexualized, barely any clothes, throwing ass, all the things. We think about those things. And within our own community, we were bamboozled and hoodwinked because the white execs, that's what they're willing to pay for. They rebranded and remarketed for their own gaze. They made you believe that this was something that was isolated within the Black community, but they still consumed that music. They still consumed that imagery. They wrote the checks. They signed off on these things. They approved what was shown and consumed for the general public. And it was to the detriment of Black women's bodies. The hypersexualized view of Black women. Ain't that something? It's crazy how that works. We think about porn. You have all your different categories. Ebony, BBW, BBC. See, nobody talks about that. When we try to get to the root of things, we have to gain some level of self-awareness and hold ourselves accountable of all of the bullshit that we have consumed unknowingly and knowingly. off from our upbringings with the music videos, with pop culture, with music, with imagery and artwork, with what we saw on a day-to-day basis when we came outside of our house, what we see on our phones when we're talking about current times and on social media. All of these things are helping to fuel the ideology of Blacks being aggressive, Blacks being hypersexual, Blacks being this, 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 and that, instead of the fact of Blacks are not a monolith. We are all different. We all have different hearts and different perspectives and different things that we love and care about. Right? We are human just like you. But there's still white corporate giants that are willing to continue the influx of Black hypersexuality. Again, they're still signing the checks. And our community is still consuming this at a higher rate. And because of social media, there are multiple communities within the United States, within South America, the Caribbean islands, the West Indian islands, you know, Canada. We think about all of the countries, Europe, Asia, every single continent that you can think of, because social media has become a worldwide thing and so many different countries have become westernized. This is the stuff that they're consuming. Hip-hop culture. Hip-hop culture is pop culture. Hip-hop culture is popular culture. And American culture is based off of what? Break it down now. Think about it. People from within our country, but people from other parts of the world, they are able to form this idea of what it means to be Black and what it means to look like and have when it comes to being desired and lusted after. Either they want to emulate or they want to be with this person. They want to spectate. They want to have these different fantasies of this luscious, beautiful, curvaceous Black woman. These people who want penis, they want the BBC, they want these big Black dicks. They let society tell them that this is true. Black men have bigger penises. Black men are stronger. Black men are hyper masculine and protectors and passionate and all these things. Porn. We watch porn. People shape their lives. Sexually shape their lives based off the porn that they consume. Not realizing that that is all an act. Those sex workers are doing a job. They're acting. But people consume that. And they make that their reality. And then they put that out into the world. They get on their apps. They have their conversations amongst their like-minded friend groups. And they laugh and they giggle. But again, it's at the expense of Black bodies. Black bodies are being viewed as nothing more than just a sexual object and not an entire human being with a story and with a heart. So it's problematic. It's toxic. It's chaotic. But I feel like with the proper awareness, with the proper exposure, we can help combat that. How we're perceived as Black people, I do genuinely feel that we can help lower some of that damage that has been done within our generations, but also for future generations. You know, that's why becoming aware, becoming knowledgeable, and really educating yourself on what it means to be racially discriminated against, but also sexually discriminated against based off of your race. When we do the work, we can learn more. We can learn different ways of how to navigate this. And pass that awareness, pass that new knowledge on to our friend groups, our loved ones. You know? So there's different ways that we can help build up our community. But I see so much when it comes to just being, for me at least, being a Black gay man and also being a top within the gay community. I can't help it. I can't help but be annoyed. I can't help but be frustrated. You know, you get on these apps and it doesn't matter if it's a dating app, it doesn't matter if it's a hookup app. You get on these apps and you're looked at strictly as a piece of meat. There are so many white, brown, yellow, just non-Black in general, individuals that will strictly approach you based off of their desire and lust and fetish of your Black body, of your BBC, your big Black cock. And they'll lead the conversation with that. Because they only want one thing. They want the dick. That's it. They don't want you. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that ludicrous? That these people, they don't see you as a person. You know? And it's sad because we see within a lot of our experiences, we see so many different examples. I remember my best friend, he is a bottom and he's Black. And I remember he was on one of the very popular gay hookup apps. And this guy, it was a white guy. Mind you, my best friend has on his profile that he's a bottom, like plenty of times, right? And this white guy kept hitting him up, asking him for his dick. And he kept requesting to be fucked by my best friend. And my best friend was like, Kenny, like, why is he doing this? Like, have on my page on the bottom, like multiple times. And I said, baby, he don't care about you being a bottom. That man don't care about you being no bottom. He sees a black gay man and he wants your BBC. This white man who saw that my best friend had all over his profile that he was a bottom. This white man said, fuck that nigga. That's what he said. I want that black dick. I want the BBC. I don't care if you were a bottom. I don't care if you are a bottom. I want to see your dick. And when I tell you, my best friend was so lost. He was so lost. And I'm like, baby, we live in a world that has become liberal, open, integrated. And that's great. But at the same time, this world, this society, this lifestyle that we navigate through as being black gay men here in Los Angeles, on top of that, we don't think about when we're outside and how people are perceiving us outside of the normal stuff that we have to worry about. But when we're talking about sexual, nobody really kind of think about that. And being black and being fetishized, they are, it's messy. It's really messy because our community, I mean, it's, like I say, the whites, but also like even the Asian, even the Hispanic, like these people still fetishize us. And these are people who are of color as well, but it doesn't matter. They still want what? The black dick. But of course, the white gay community are the main offenders when it comes to us being fetishized for our ethnic and racial background of being black people. You know? And we see it, we hear stories. And it's like, don't ever fucking treat me like I'm just some black dick. I'm a whole person with thoughts, feelings, heart, experiences, dreams, all the things. Family, friends, I'm so much more than this. You know, you don't get the chance to watch porn and fetishize of interracial couplings and interracial scenes and porn and minimize me to just that. I'm not your big black dick fantasy. Leave me out of it. Do better. I'm more than just dick. I'm more than BBC. I'm more than that. You feel me? You know, it's sad. It's really sad because you look on different gay pages and stuff and you see like them doing breakdowns of different countries with the biggest penises and the predominantly black or exclusively black countries, they tend to sit rather high, right? So even literature like that helps fuel the stereotype of big black dick, black man being well endowed and having a third leg and just all this stuff. This buck, this stud. You've heard it before. You know what I'm talking about. You know. And we don't think about, again, just the history and the root of just the fact that in slavery, American slavers, they were able to make way more money off of a black African man who had a bigger penis. Only for the purpose to create more and more slaves. Isn't that crazy? So that's why I say everything has its root. Black African men were used as objects, as tools, to continue to fuel more and more generations of slaves based off of their sexual, it makes me sick. It makes me sick. These people were bought and traded like objects based off their sexual anatomy to continue to fuel more and more slaves for longer periods of time. And that is when these stereotypes started. You know, we don't talk about the fact that these black African slaves and these black slaves, they were looked at as cattle, just these beasts that were made to be looked at as just these, a sexual object, an animal, you know, someone who did not have their own agency and their own thoughts, their own mind. They were looked at strictly sexual objects and objects to continue to fuel more generations of slaves. And it all started from who had the biggest penis and what was their value to breed them with well-endowed women, black women. And for these white slave owners and subordinates, for them to sneak through the night, busting down doors, raping these black men and black women. We hear about the raping of black women and creating children with them. The lusting was there. We don't talk about the raping of black men by their white slave owners and subordinates. You know, we don't talk about that. we don't talk about generations passing and Black people being made to feel as if we are that we're just something to be consumed. We don't have a mind. We are mentally void of anything substantial other than our sexual body. Let them tell it. You know? And I think about I think about people who are into, you know, fetishes that include race play. When it's a Black person and a most times a white person, and they're both potentially getting off on this race play. And they take it back to the role-playing days of yesteryear, right? They do the slave play based off of a time that's long gone, of when that Black person was a slave. And they create this fantasy. You know, and some people try to mask it as, oh, don't, you know, don't yuck my yum, don't kink shame, don't do this, don't do that, don't talk down on what I'm, you know, we're consensual adults. And that's great. That's great. Good for you, boo boo. Consent is always sexy here over at New Radio, right? We always spread that. But at what cost does that do damage to your dignity, to your integrity as a person, when you lay down or when you're alone? Can you sleep with yourself by being degraded by your white sexual partner? Could you take that money and dance for them? Shuck and jive? Be looked at like an exhibition, like something that is not real, like the dearly departed Sarah Bartman? Are you for show? You know? There's people that get off on that. There's Black men that seek white partners, strictly, exclusively. We don't talk about that. But on New Radio, we will. And you know, that is a kink that we'll get into at some point on New Radio. I do want to actually get into that, because there's a large percent of non-Black lovers who, you know, they go for Black people for sex, strictly for sex. Like, it's this app, and I feel like I mentioned it before in one of the episodes when I was talking about the dating apps, but there's this app called Black. It's BLK, and Black is specifically aimed at Black people finding love and whatever they want to do in their Black ass business. It is targeted for a Black audience, for Black people to find love with other Black people. It's literally called Black. Why the fuck am I on Black and I'm seeing non-Black people on Black? You don't see it a lot, at least on the gay side. You don't see it a lot, but you see a couple sprinkles of white men, a couple sprinkles of Hispanic men, a couple sprinkles of Asian men on an app called Black. It's called Black, y'all. It's literally called Black. And what I noticed is that when it asks you on your profile, what are you looking for? You know, they say, do you want something casual? That's like their way of, you know, something's no strings attached, you know. So, but then they have like the other ones that you can select under your profile that, you know, you may be open to dating or to a relationship or to marriage. But the non-Black people on their side of their profiles, every single person that I've seen so far, y'all, it all says that they're looking for something casual. So, what does that look like? That looks like some Black dick fetishization, right? You only want a Black body for something casual. You came on Nude Radio and from Nude Radio, I want y'all to know, whoever is doing this, please stop. But these people, they went on an app called Black. Like I say, it's for all my non-Black people. This is no shade to y'all. I love y'all. But I'm not giving y'all any shade because y'all came to Nude Radio and I don't want y'all to feel attacked, baby. But if you know someone like this, if you are someone like this, I implore you to do the work and to educate yourself to do better and to not use Black bodies as a sexual object, because these people that I'm talking about that I'm seeing on Black, they just want something casual. They don't want a relationship. They don't want to date. They came on an app called Black for something very, very surface level, and that's sex. So what I've been doing, what I've been doing is reporting them. Because what the fuck? I am more than my Black dick. I am more than my Black ass. I am more than my dark skin. I am a person. I matter. I have values. I have standards, morals, heart. I have love to give. Right? I'm more than just Black dick. But they don't see that, unfortunately. They don't see that. And it's funny because the older I've gotten, I've become a little bit more militant about these things. And I will say, living in LA for, it'll be 12 years that I've been in Los Angeles. And, you know, for me, I've honestly, like, I've been with sexually every type of person you can think of. Every racial, ethnic group of human beings I have been with. Because LA is such a mixing bowl, right? And for me, I wasn't doing it just to cross off boxes on my invisible make-believe list, right? I wasn't doing that, but I have lived a life. I have a past. Fairly, it's a fun past, really fun. But when I was with these people who were non-black, like I wasn't purposely going out to, say, oh yeah, I want a Hispanic guy tonight, for X amount of reasons, because Hispanic guys are known for this, this, and this. Or, oh, I want a white guy or an Asian guy for this, because you know what they say, white or Asian guys are this, this, or this. Like, no. No. You hear the stereotypes, of course. You hear the stereotypes that shit. You hear the racial stereotypes that white and Asian men are submissive, and you hear the white gays, they're submissive, they are super freaky, they will do anything to you for you sexually. I mean, we've heard it. We've heard it. But that's why I wanted to bring this topic up, because it's like, wait, well, I wasn't going after them for that. It just so happened to be that the guy that was attractive to me, and he sent a message, and I reciprocated, and it sounded good at the moment. He just happened to be Hispanic, right? Or he happened to be, I guess, the occasional white guy or whatever the fuck. Like, I have never, I've never just gone after people just to go after. I was just attracted to that person. Period. And I just, it's interesting just how people think. But that's the thing, like, I don't think like that. So that's why I find it alien when people are able to fetishize you over your race and ethnic group because you are black. Could I have played into some type of black fetish or black fantasy from this black dom top? Because that's what they tell themselves. I am dominant, but I'm also very much just a gay guy. I'm not hyper masculine. I'm not, like, I'm very much in the middle. But they could have played up that fantasy in their head, that they wanted this dom top, this masculine big black dick. And could I have unknowingly played into that? Me going into it purely off of just attraction and sexual attraction, and them going into it with a list of things. I could have. And for that, I have to say, you know what? It is what it is. I would say most of the times those guys, they never made it a thing. They never made their fetish or black fantasy to be a loud announcement or a request. So, I don't know. Back in those days, it was just a hookup. So you didn't really get to know this person like that. As risky as all this shit was back in the day, and And like I say, I've lived a life and I can laugh at it now. But, you know, I was out here. I was young. I was in my 20s. I was discovering my sexuality after being repressed sexually for so long. So I didn't get the chance to get to know these guys and get to actually know exactly why they wanted me. I just went into it like, you know, we both have things that we want to benefit from each other. And let's do it. All right. Thank you. Keep it moving. So I never stayed around long enough to find out if they, you know, had a BBC fetish or whatever. They never told me, you know. And it's funny. When we're talking about the non-Black bodies, a majority of them were brown people, you know, Hispanic guys. It was little speckles of white guys, one or two thrown in there throughout multiple years. But yeah, there were Hispanic guys. And, you know, like I say, when you think about racial stereotypes and sexual stereotypes about Hispanic guys, you hear, you know, they're very passionate. You know, they love Black people. They love Black dick, whatever the case is, right? But as I've gotten older and formed some type of, what would you even call it? Like acquaintanceship with these guys. Like if they were longstanding fuck buddies. And I'm going to use some more real life stories. We follow each other on Instagram. You know, we hee-hee and we ha-ha. But there's sometimes things throughout the years that may be something dealing with Black culture or Blackness or whatever the case. And they will be the first one to say something that's off the cuff. And then you have this conversation and you start to learn that this person is so ignorant, so detached, they miss the mark. The point's right here, they fly right over it or right under it. They miss it. Because from their lens, they like to fuck Black guys, but they don't really care about what really goes on in our day-to-day. They may consume some of the things from our culture, but they're not of the culture. And what pisses me off is that they insert themselves into topics about our culture and have this loud and wrong opinion and perspective about what's going on in our culture. They voluntarily throw themselves into whatever that conversation is, whatever that post is of that day. It's happened. And then that's when I take a step back and I'm like, wait, we've been fucking for how long? You know, we've been cool. But now I'm starting to learn that you don't really, you fuck Black people, but you don't fuck with Black people. It's a difference. Let me run that back. You fuck Black people, but you don't really fuck with Black people. And just because you may have grew up around Black people, just because you have shared schools with Black people, just because you are brown and not white, you're still not black. So you don't really care. You just know what you like, right? Isn't that interesting? And you start to see, as the conversation goes on, that their views are very problematic. Very problematic. One of the guys that I have been fucking, he's Mexican. And he was, we had been fucking since shit for years, before he moved. And nice guy, all the things, you know, nice guy. Very sexy, all the things, very handsome, all the things, right? So we actually had a conversation recently about a Hispanic content creator making some tweets that stated that he did have a BBC fetish, and he was mad that his favorite Black content creators were collaborating with white gay content creators, and he felt as if he was in competition with these white content creators because he's this Hispanic content creator, and how dare his BBC, he said this, he literally said this in a tweet, how dare his BBC fuck some white boys and not him? How dare his BBC? How dare his big black cock? Y'all hear that? That shit's wild. So you have taken away this man and reduced him down to his penis? Are you serious? You're angry because the white gays are now in a competition? What, y'all are in a black dick fetish Olympics now? A race? That's crazy. That's insanity. I couldn't even hee hee ha ha at that shit. Like, I could not. I couldn't. So, of course, I had posted it because in 2024, we're bringing back shame. I don't know about you, but in 2024, we are bringing back shame. Shame. Shame, bitch. Okay. So I posted the tweet on my Instagram, and the guy that I was fucking with for years, Hispanic guy, he was the first one to voluntarily, you know, input his thoughts and opinions. And I said, well, how do you feel about this? Since you voluntarily, you know, we're here because of you. So how do you feel about this? What's your take? And he felt that it was stupid and all this. And I'm like, so why do you only fuck black guys? What is it about black guys that draws you in? So he said this. And I knew it was going to happen, but I was hoping it wasn't going to happen. Because I'm like, I'm going to have to cut this dude the fuck off. He said, you know, I don't know. You know, it's hard to explain. Black guys are just passionate and masculine. So I said, wait, hold on. You do know that all black guys are not passionate. You do know that all black guys are not masculine, right? We're more than that. Did you not know? It's like, no, I do, whatever. But it's just everything that I like, I don't like Hispanic guys. That's what he said. As a Hispanic man, he said that he doesn't like Hispanic men. He prefers black men because they are passionate, and masculine. That's what he said. And here I am thinking, again, I'm not the most masculine man. I've never made it out to be. I don't hold myself to that standard. I am me. I am a gay-ass man. And you come over here for years and get this gay-ass dick, but for you, the fantasy, you don't see my gayness. You don't see my character traits that aren't the most masculine. You just see a black body, black dick. Passionate. I am passionate, baby. I am. I am passionate. But you see me as a black dick. A black body. His third one on his list was, you know, he loves darker skin. He's just always been attracted to darker skin. I'm like, I get that. You know, attraction is different, but I said, fuck. Here we go. And then another guy who I follow, been knowing him for years. Again, very sweet, very kind, very handsome. We've had great sex. He moved too. But he's Hispanic. I don't know exactly which country he comes from, child, or his family. But I was watching a video that we had made together some years back. And in the video, I didn't hear this when I first, you know, recorded it. Because he was like, let's make a video. And I was like, all right. You know, he was somebody that I was consistently having sex with, and we felt comfortable with each other and everything like that. And yeah, we did make a video. And there's nothing identifiable. You would never know it's me. You would never know it's him. But we know. And in the video, I rewatched it recently, and I heard something I didn't hear before because I hadn't watched it in forever. As I'm digging in, I think we're in missionary, and I'm going to work. I'm doing my thing. Deep strokes, right? I hear him say, give me that black dick. Bitch, when I tell you I gagged, I said, wait, hold on. Let me rewind that. Hold on. Let me reverse. Wait, what was that? He said under his breath, give me that black dick. Actually, he said, give me that big black dick. I want to make sure I quote him correctly. Give me that big black dick. Uh-huh. So I said, fuck. This dude, who I've been knowing for years, has had some form of black fetish and fantasy. Because who says that? Why am I just this big black dick? Why you couldn't just say, give me that dick? You know, because if I'm with black people, we don't say, give me that big black dick. If I'm digging in or somebody else getting dug out, child, they're going to say, give me that dick. They're not going to identify with your race or ethnic group, child. So he was so lost in euphoria, his fantasy was becoming reality, child. And he let it slip out his mouth. Give me that big black dick. That's what he said. And I gagged. And it's really, it's a problem because I was briefly dating this guy in 2020. And he is, you know, Latino dude from, his family comes from the Spanish-speaking islands, right? Again, very sweet, very kind, and very handsome. But one day, I noticed that when I went to his followers, and I went to all the guys that he follows nothing but Black men. And I was like, not you too. Not you too. Now, mind you, we, all the Black guys that he follows, they are of different shapes, sizes, and different hues of skin tone and complexions. But he follows nothing but Black men, handsome, for the most part, but Black men. So I was like, not you, no. Oh. So as I've gotten older, whereas, again, like I told the guy who inserted himself in the topic about the Hispanic guy minimalizing Black men to Black dick, like I told him, if you were to ask me, just how I ask you, what do you and why did you fuck me as a Black guy? And you told me passionate, masculine, and you like the skin complexion. If you were to ask me, Kenny, and I told him this in our DMs, I'm like, if you were to ask me, Kenny, why did you fuck me as, you know, me being a Hispanic Mexican guy? I would have been like, I thought you were attractive. That's it. That's it. That's literally it. I found you attractive. Period. We had a consensual agreement on some adult activities. And that was the only reason why we ended up here. I found you attractive, period. Nothing else. That's it. You just happened to be a Mexican man. You know, I'm not looking at all of that. But as I've gotten older and as I've gotten into my 30s, you see so many more examples, and I can't help but become more militant when it comes to who I involve myself sexually. And that's just been an ongoing thing for the last couple of years anyways. But when it comes to dating, when it comes to sex, I don't want to have to question if I'm your fetish. I don't want to have to question that. I've always looked at things purely, you know? Do I have sex? And have I had sex with, and have I had relationships and dating experiences with Black men? Hell yeah, of course. It's gonna always be like that. It's a preference. But have I engaged in sexual activity with non-Black men in my past? I have. Because I found them attractive and they found me attractive from what I knew, and we did what we did, kept it moving. Or we establish some type of agreement And it worked for however long it worked. But like I say, as I've getting older, and me and these guys, we follow each other because we're cool. You find out their politics. And that's when I just cringe. And I'm like, that's on me. But at the same time, I didn't know. I didn't know until I knew that you fuck black people, but you don't fuck with black people. We saw a lot of that during 2020 when racial tension was high and we were all our own activists sharing knowledge and our stances on certain things when it came to Black Lives Matter. There is plenty of people who are non-black who fell to the wayside based off of their ignorance and their problematic views back then. So now these are the leftovers, and now they're eliminating themselves from just even having me as an acquaintance at this point because I'm having to learn their politics. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, you fuck black people, you don't fuck with black people. Okay, got it. What was all of this all these years? But that's on me, you know? And I would say this. If I'm single, if I'm in the mood, if I'm anywhere, I don't know. If I'm in another country, or what? I don't know. And I happen to have sex with somebody in the future and they're not black. Look, I would hope that you just want to have sex with me or you approached me because you found me attractive. And I just so happen to be black, if that's the case. But at this point, it makes you kind of feel unsafe even involving yourself in something so surface level like sex. It makes you even think like, you know what? Nah, this black dick is only for black, you know? It kind of makes you feel like that. Because I don't want to be used in general at this stage in life, but I also don't want to be used as a fetish. It gets deeper at that point, and I don't like that. That don't feel good. I don't want any parts of it. So like I told my best friend who happened to be a black bottom, and the white men, they said, oh yeah, bitch, yeah, fuck you being a bottom, where's that dick at? I'm like, do you want to be a fetish? I was like, you know that you're being fetishized, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you literally said that you're a bottom and you have it all over your page, but they're like, no, we want the black dick. That shit's wild. It's absolutely fucking wild. So that's what I say. I'm doing my due diligence to my community in every small step that I can take. And whenever I see the bullshit, whenever I see these non-black people on topics, on apps that are targeted for black people, I'm reporting your fucking ass. Gone. We don't want you here. Stop it. We do not want to be your fetish. We do not want to be your fetish. And it's just funny because there are some black guys that do want to be your fetish. You know? You look at these black guys who exclusively date white or non-black, mostly white. You see these people in the news. You see these people on social media. You see these people on radios and TV and movies. Black prominent men dating exclusively white men. And when asked about this, not every guy has been confronted about this topic, but when asked about this, you know, oh, well, why do you only date white guys? And they'll give you this roundabout answer. Oh, you know, growing up black and gay and in my city or my state, and during this time, I was picked on and bullied and traumatized by black men. So me dating someone that isn't black, someone who is white, they're more accepting. And it's like, wait, hold on, run it back. You do know that there are also white bullies, white homophobes, white transphobes, white ignorant people too, right? Who are bullying their own for the same things. You just happen to be that in a black space. They're doing that to their own. They literally are. Look it up. It's stories. Plenty of stories where you hear that. That's the unfortunate life of a queer individual. Especially for us Gen X, millennials, and even the Gen Z folks, they're still dealing with shit like that. But I would never get on somebody's mic and when asked that question, give you this gaslit ass answer and say, oh, well, you know, West Hollywood is just so integrated and so mixy and everything. And we just, you know, they're just so open and so much happier. Sir, that was a choice that you made to not center yourself or go into black spaces because they exist here in LA. LA has a nice, pretty, I would say, a thriving black gay community. And it's like, I'm looking at these things, I'm listening to these men say this, and I'm like, you chose not to go into those black spaces. That was literally your decision. You chose not to. You chose to go only to the predominantly black, or not the predominantly black, but the predominantly white spaces to find love or ass or dick. I don't know. That was a choice. So, you would never hear me get on nobody's microphone. And y'all know my story. We've talked about the things. I was a young gay black boy growing up outside of Detroit. I went through bullying. I went through some of my own traumatizing experiences done by black people. But that never pushed me away from wanting to find black love. No, not at all. You know, they ask these questions, well, why do these prominent gay black guys, they only date white? You got to ask them and hear every single question. And hear every single answer. But the ones that we've gotten recently in the news, I don't need to name names. But if you know, you know. I just think that with that answer, it's first off, it's a non-answer, but also it is a slap in the face to the interviewer, but also the Black community. You chose not to cohabitate within those Black spaces. You chose not to look for them. You found them. Most times you thought that you were too good and too enlightened or better. They were below you. I've met guys who think like this. And you say, oh yeah, I want to be the token Black. And you know, from observation, if I go out to one of the most popular gay bars here in West Hollywood, or any of them really, and you'll see little sprinkles of Black men, sprinkles, 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 and they got their center of friends and who they're looking to take home, some white guys, or maybe even some Hispanic guys, but mostly some white guys. And it's funny, I've watched it happen. The sprinkles of Black men, they'll purposely ignore each other in that space. Yeah. It's like, I'm in competition. I'm the lead nigga in charge. I'm the one who's, I have the biggest Black dick. And and this episode may very well get me in trouble, but I just have to speak my truth. I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of it. I'm not your Black dick fetish. I can't allow myself to play into that. And like I say, we'll have a conversation on some of the more taboo fetishes at a later date. Because I want to get into that. I want to get into the psychology of race play. I want to get into that amongst a couple other ones that's been going on. Yeah. Like, I want to see, like, why, you know, why this? But yeah, it's just, I just find it interesting, and I want for these, I want these dating apps, I want these commercials, I want these movies to showcase, when you're showcasing Black love, when you're showcasing Black sex, I want them to also show Black men with other Black men, or Black women with other Black women, or Black men and Black women together. Because what we've been seeing for the last couple of years are interracial couples, Black and white coupling on your commercials, on your dating apps, on your TV screens, your movie screens, in your music videos, on social media, through influencers, on the hookup apps, when it comes to the ads and stuff. How about we show that, but we also show Black men with Black men, Black women with Black women, Black men with Black women, and Black people who don't conform to gender identity with each other. Let's talk about representation. I love integration. I love it. I'm here for it. You know. And I'm all for love is love. And when I say love is love as a gay person, I mean that. But I want it to be because of love, not lust. I want it to be from love and not lust. If you happen to be in an interracial relationship, let it be because you truly love that person. And they just so happen to be something different from you. If you're in an interracial relationship, be with that person who happens to be a little bit different from you, but don't put down the community that you come from. Don't degrade them to uplift this other person. That's toxic. That's problematic. I'm all for that. You feel me? And like I say, I'm just at a stalemate at this point. When it comes to what my person looks like, what the person that I choose to have sex with, what does he look like? You know? And I kind of just feel like if I have to go into a situation, a sexual situation, a potential romantic situation, having these questions and this anxiety about your politics, maybe I shouldn't be fucking with you. Some would say, well, Kenny, stay your ass at home. And at home, I mean with people who are like me, black men, black gay men. Some people say, Kenny, well, stay your ass at home. And I would say, well, yes. Yeah. You know, like I say, ever since I was a kid, I have aspired to find love with another black gay man. I still want that. You know, but I also know that life is crazy. You know, I remember, and I didn't mention this in the last episode with, what was it, episode 106, In Love With My Best Friend. That guy, he wasn't black. He was Mexican. And I remember even back then, this was years ago, I remember thinking like, oh my God, how did I fall in love with this dude? Like he's not black at all. He is very much a Mexican dude. When I'm chilling with him and his family at his family's home, they're speaking Spanish. I can understand it, but he is not black. I remember I used to think that. And the funny thing is, I used to think like, oh, you know, it's a certain box of things that I need you to check off when it comes to cultural things that I need from my partner. And the funny thing is with him, we never talked about none of that stuff. We talked about other things and everything else. And that's because humans are complex individuals, of course. We were two complex individuals. We had depth. We had adventure. We had all the other things. So those things shine through. And that's what led to that. So that was a situation that still was not, you know, healthy, of course. But had it been healthy, that would have been a romantic situation that, you know, the guy that I fell in love with was not black. He was Mexican. But we fell in love and I happened to be black. He just happens to be Mexican. So that was that. And that's why I say life is weird. You know, you never know. But I'm done. I'm done with feeling like an object I'm done with feeling like a sexual object to anyone, but also because of my color, because of the color of my skin, I have problems with that. So we'll probably do another episode that goes even more in depth into this topic at a later date. But until then, let me know what you think about this week's episode when it comes to racial fetishization and racial racism in sexual spaces. Yeah. So, remember to like and subscribe to Nude Radio, streaming on all platforms where you can hear a podcast, and follow me on Twitter/X at NudeRadio101, and find me on Instagram under the same handle at NudeRadio101. And if you want to reach out to me directly on my personal page on Instagram, it is at Kenny Heflin. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. Again, this will most likely be a multi-part episode, so I can't wait to dive a little bit deeper into it and have some people on the chat with about. But felt like I needed to talk about it and open up the door. But yeah, I love you all. Thank you. Bye.